The scripture today is from Acts 16, verses 6 through 15. And you'll see why Debbie asked me to read this passage in a moment. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called upon us to proclaim the good news to them. We therefore set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace the following day, to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who had gathered there, a certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira, and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. Thanks be to God.
I did think it would be fun to have Lydia read about Lydia. As you know, over the last few weeks, I've been working through choosing key stories, passages from the book of Acts. And somehow this Sunday seemed a very good Sunday to focus on unexpected turns of events, unexpected leadings of the Spirit, and a strong woman. And I really got excited when I realized that this sermon actually kind of fits. The old pattern was an old-fashioned good sermon had 3 points in a poem. And I realized that this one had 3 points in a letter. I think that's pretty cool. So let's start with point one, listening. As Lydia read, Paul had a plan. He thought he was supposed to keep preaching, moving around to the different regions of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, with these different, and thank you, Lydia, you did a great job, these different districts, Phrygia, Galatia, you know, these different areas. I was actually looked up Paul's first, second journeys on the map in the back of my Bible yesterday trying to track this out. And basically, he's moving around there in what's modern-day Turkey, and he thinks he's supposed to keep going, and we read that even though he'd been getting a good response, forming his little house churches, twice the Spirit basically said, "No, no, closed door, don't go that, don't do that, don't do what you think is the right thing to do." And then a new possibility is revealed through this vision of a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." Now again, the geography that we may all be a little fuzzy on, Macedonia was across the Aegean Sea where Macedonia and Greece are today. So it meant going out of the more familiar territory where Paul had grown up in Tarsus and going into Europe. So when Paul goes to Europe, to Philippi, this is the first city of Greece, Macedonia, of Europe, where he starts to go and preach. Paul moved out of what he knew into a totally new ethnic and cultural context. Commentator
on the book of Acts, F.F. Bruce writes that the missionary journeys of Paul show an extraordinary combination of strategic planning and keen sensitivity to the guidance of the Spirit. And he says, there is no place where this is more clear and evident than in this little passage right here. Paul had his plans, but he ultimately relied on the Spirit, and he was obedient and trusting. When new things opened up, he took the risk and just kept on being faithful. The other thing we can note, and it's subtle, did you notice the change in pronouns? He goes to Troas, which is the port where he's able to sail across the Macedonia. That's where he has a vision. And then it says, we went across. This is where the physician Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, joins with Paul and Silas and young Timothy, who had joined them a little earlier. This is when Luke comes on board. Apparently, Luke was actually from Antioch, had known Paul probably some already, but for whatever reasons, Luke was in Troas, and Luke joined them. Luke becomes a part of their missionary team. From what we know, Luke was a Gentile believer, highly educated, has some of the most sophisticated Greek of any of the New Testament. He was a physician, and there's reason to believe as the years went on and Luke kept traveling with Paul, that Luke's skill as a physician may have been very important with Paul dealing with various health challenges. We don't know what all those were. Of course, getting beat up and thrown in jail and stoned and things, I'm sure didn't help whatever Paul's health was. But Luke, most importantly, became the scribe. He became the historian for all the rest of Paul's ministries. So they cross into Macedonia and go up to Philippi, a major trade city, a Roman colony. And we get a sense here that Paul's usual method didn't work. Normally, he went to a city and he sought out the synagogue, and that's where he would begin his conversations and his preaching. But there was no synagogue in Philippi, which means there was no significant Jewish community. All it took to have a synagogue was 10 Jewish men. And there weren't even that many Jewish families in Philippi. So again, he's being forced to do it differently. And I just love this little, you know, kind of glimpse of the cultural thing, that they went out to there by the river where they supposed there would be a place of prayer. Isn't that interesting? And they found these little group of women gathering to pray and start talking with them. And the one whose name we learn is Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, a businesswoman, an immigrant from back in Asia Minor, from the city of Thyatira. It was interesting because Thyatira is in that province of Asia, part of Asia Minor, where the Spirit had told him not to go, but when he goes to Philippi, he meets this woman who's an immigrant from there. Isn't that interesting? And she was a trader in purple cloth, which is a fascinating reality, that in that day, purple, there was a kind of purple dye that was the most expensive dye imaginable. People today do not know how to make it. The art has been lost. But they took tiny little seashells of a certain kind from the Mediterranean Sea, and they crushed them up, and they soaked them in some kind of chemical over a number of days, and it created this purple dye that was like a half a man, you know, Roman soldier's salary to buy a small amount of it. Very, very expensive, which is why purple became the color of royalty, because it was only the rich people who could afford to buy fancy purple cloth. There was a cheaper form of purple dye from a root that wasn't quite so pretty and whatever, that probably less wealthy people might have been able to afford. So she wasn't just a businesswoman of some sort. She was a businesswoman trading in high-level trade, making real money. She had financial resources.
And she was clearly a leader of this little group and was a strong, independent woman. There is no mention of a husband, a father, a brother, no men. She's just Lydia. And she was a Gentile who had become a worshiper of God. And so she is open to what Paul and Silas share with her, and she comes to believe and accepts Jesus and asks to be baptized along with her household, who all join in her profession of faith in Jesus. She becomes the leader of this little house church of Philippi. And she says to them, and I love the way she says it, "If you've judged me to be faithful, then come stay at my house. If I'm no longer just a Gentile woman, but if I am a fellow believer with you, then you should be able to stay at my house." And so they did. They went and stayed with her for a few weeks at best before opposition grew in the city of Philippi. We'll talk more about that next week. There's more to the story in chapter 16. But that little church in Philippi, Lydia's church, grew and thrived. Paul didn't get back there for 7 more years, and when he came back, and then he came back maybe again once near the end of his ministry. But it became probably Paul's favorite church. If you read the letters, he doesn't write the Philippians having to correct them. He doesn't have to tell them how they're crazy like they were in Corinth, or there aren't all these problems. They are his beloved little church. Some of you may know, Brahman Evans loves to say that David Evans, up until the end of his life, when he would talk with her on the phone, would always say, "And how's my favorite church, First Baptist Ithaca?" So even though Paul was there only a short time, he took them very much into his heart. And you can feel that when you read the letter to the Philippians. You can feel his love for them, his joy in them, his gratitude for them. And he talks about their faithfulness in supporting him. I think once again we see Lydia's spirit, the generosity, the hospitality, that even when Paul was gone, they were this little group that kept trying to figure out, how can we get some money to send to help Paul? How can we send some gifts to help Paul? How can we help Paul when we hear he's in prison? Through the years, they were faithful supporters of Paul. And so in his letter, you hear him thanking them, encouraging them, and thanking them for their faithfulness, and calling them my joy and my crown, my beloved brothers and sisters in Philippi. And then this letter, which we heard a little of in our call to worship, the letter to the Philippians, Paul is writing from prison, either Ephesus on his way to Rome or actually from Rome. And so from prison, he is writing them, "Rejoice in the Lord." He's writing them about the joy that is deeper than circumstances. He says, "And I have learned in all situations to be content." And there's that beautiful poem he quotes to the Philippians about Christ Jesus, who emptied himself, who gave himself away. It's a beautiful proclamation of faith that he writes to the Philippians as he encourages them, who are evidently also suffering greatly persecution for their faithfulness. At the end of his ministry in prison, Lydia and her little church in Philippi are still supporting him. And we read in Colossians, "Luke alone is with me." His other friend, unexpected partner, who had joined him here in this passage, stayed with him to the very, very end. For me, this passage captures the challenge to us, as I said to the kids, be open to the unexpected. Listen for where the Spirit may be prompting us when we don't expect it, aren't looking for it, maybe don't think that really makes much sense. Have our own plans, our own strategies, our own agenda. Be open and listen. And then look for those surprising partners, friends, who may come to be the most faithful blessings of our lives. So let us rejoice in the God who is not bound by our expectations and who is always faithful to try to give us the best. We can trust in that God, no matter what the circumstances of our world. God is at work for love, for joy, for building relationships, for healing, and for hope. Thanks be to God. Amen.